This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
After one turbulent season, well, it's been a few. Bye-bye, baby Chaz. You're on FaceTime. Mike Florio is going to join us in a moment. Shanahan took over an expansion team, basically. Built this baby up. Four great years in five seasons. And obviously a step back this year. But also, we're ready to move off the coach. Are we really ready to move off of Kyle Shanahan? Like, honestly, Niner fans, you want to move off of Kyle Shanahan? Really? You know how many other teams would take this guy as a coach? They tell us all the time. Chicago's begging. Yeah, trade him to us. Please. Are we ready to do that? Now, there's some interesting ideas. And what the 49ers do this offseason is going to be very intriguing. Maybe the biggest offseason for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan if they are around. So, we'll see. But let's bring in our good friend from Pro Football Talk. He's been a great friend of the program. After the way we started, we've come a long way, Mike Florio, as he joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? And I don't even know how the guy has the time to write these books. He's got Father of Mine. He's got Son of Mine available right now on Amazon. And now he's got a new Christmas book, On Our Way Home, also available on Amazon and for your Kindle. How the hell does he have time to do all this? Mike, good morning to you. And I know you have time to write books, but you also have time to join the Rich Eisen show. And you said something yesterday that Niner fans have really locked onto. And you were just wondering, would Chicago trade picks for the services of Kyle Shanahan? What made you come up with this concept, Mike? And good morning to you.
Good morning. And this is something that I'll mention from time to time during the hiring cycle or as it approaches. It's an option available to teams looking for coaches that doesn't get used as much as it could, as much as it should. It dates back to John Gruden in 2002 when he left the Raiders for the Buccaneers for a couple of first-round picks, $8 million in cash, and maybe more than that. I need to look that up and refresh my memory. There have been other situations like it. The 49ers almost traded Jim Harbaugh to the Browns more than 10 years ago as he was entering what was the last year of his time in San Francisco. So I view it as a logical break from the typical formula, which is find a coordinator who's never been a head coach and roll the dice on that person becoming a competent head coach. Find a college coach that you think can come to the NFL and get it done, or find a fired former NFL head coach who's out there like a Mike Vrabel. Option four is identify a situation where maybe there's an opportunity for someone to get a fresh start. And before that fresh start manifests itself in a mutual parting like Harbaugh and the 49ers eventually had, intervene, make a call. It's free to make the call and find out whether or not there's an opportunity there. And we don't know the truth. We don't know what's lurking behind the scenes. And we don't know how Jed York would respond if somebody were to call him up and say, what would you want for the ability to try to negotiate a contract with Kyle Shanahan for him to become our new head coach. And whether it's Shanahan, whether it's John Harbaugh, because there are times where it feels like the Ravens and Harbaugh could benefit from a fresh start, whether it's Mike McDaniel, because maybe the Dolphins regret giving him an extension, whoever it is, I think the Bears need to be thinking about current proven head coaches who might love the opportunity to work with Caleb Williams. So that's how that all came up. It actually came up earlier in the day on The Score in Chicago, and it started with a draft we did on PFT Live, which is on Peacock every morning, 7 to 9 Eastern, Devin McCourty and I were coming up with candidates for the job, and that's when it hit me, hey, wait, whoa. There's a whole universe of candidates we're not paying attention to, and that's current head coaches.
Okay, hypothetically, I'm willing to, you know, do this exercise. Hypothetically, what would the compensation look like?
I don't know, because it hasn't happened in so long. There's no good comparison out there. The Gruden thing from 23 years ago was a massive haul for the Raiders for a guy that probably was only going to stay there one more year anyway. It's at least a first-round pick for Kyle Shanahan, at least. The question becomes, how much more than that? We'd have to look at, and I don't remember what the Broncos ultimately gave up when they acquired the rights for Sean Payton after he had resigned a year later with the New Orleans Saints. But we'd have to look at all of the past situations. But ultimately, it comes down to whatever someone's willing to pay and whatever it takes to get it done. At least a first rounder, like I said, maybe more. And the question then becomes, is it worth it for a team that is trying to get the absolute most out of its young quarterback? And one thing that I picked up while poking around a little bit about what the Bears plan to do, their top objective is getting the absolute most out of Caleb Williams, which points to an offensive head coach. Even though they're going to keep an open mind, you want to join Caleb Williams at the hip with a coach who's going to get the most out of him. So if you have to invest a first-round pick or more to make that happen, and you have to pay that guy good money, and coaches are underpaid relative to the best players. The best coaches are paid peanuts in comparison to the best players. Now, look, they're not going to go hungry. They're pretty expensive peanuts, but it's out of whack. And I think that if a team is truly willing to change, truly willing to turn the page, value and prioritize the coaching position, give up the draft picks to get an existing coach, and pay him what he's worth, that may be the key to unlock contending every year and maybe one or more championships.
All right, Mike, let me ask you in reality now, because this is all hypothetical and it's a lot of it from the Chicago point of view. Do you get any sense with John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, Jed York, they obviously have the quarterback situation, which we'll get to in a second, when it comes to Purdy. Is there any sense that you get from around the league that there is some strained relationship or frustration from any of the three parties, ownership, GM, head coach with the Niners?
Well, they're going to keep that stuff under wraps. They're not going to wear it on their sleeves. We just have to look at past patterns, past situations, circumstances that have played out over the years, and we assume that human beings operate generally the same way in similar circumstances. And one of the most frustrating things for any team is to be banging on the door and not kick it in. And we've seen coaches get fired for getting close to the Super Bowl consistently. I remember when the Denver Broncos threw John Fox overboard a year after he took the team to the Super Bowl because they couldn't get to the top of the mountain. It can be grating on a team. It can be exhausting for everyone involved. And when you look at the 49ers right now, the franchise feels exhausted. Shanahan looks exhausted. We've had every year except 2020 deep into the playoffs. That's a physical, mental, and spiritual burden that you got to figure out how to deal with, and you got to reset. And you got to keep carrying that. And the way they play their games, that physicality the 49ers have used to be as great as they've been, that takes a toll. So now we feel like we're at a point where, for the nucleus of veterans, the sun is setting. There's going to be a future that no one really knows what it will hold. Can they go out and find a collection of players like the ones they've had? And is it just time for change? Would people benefit from a fresh start? I thought of this after the loss to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. At some point, Kyle Shanahan needs a fresh start somewhere else, like Andy Reid got one. And the team may welcome it too. That's where it all comes from. Where are there coaches who might benefit from a fresh start and who might be working for teams that would be inclined to have a fresh start of their own? And again, there's nothing specific yet, but when you consider how quickly they fell out of love with Jim Harbaugh, and I know Jim Harbaugh is a handful, but his brother's a handful too. And his brother's been the head coach of the Ravens since 2008. So there's just enough of a whiff of dysfunction at the top of the organization. It makes me wonder at what point Jed York decides, I need to make a change.
Mike Florio here on the River Islands Guest Line. Since you brought up Jed York, Tim Kawakami joined one of our afternoon show Mark Willard and Dan Dable yesterday. He had this to say about how Jed York views Shanahan in his future.
I think he thinks he can't get a better coach. That's the way to look at it. You would obviously would have wanted him to see win Super Bowls at this point, but it hasn't happened. He's gotten to two. He's gotten to four NFC Championship games. You can't say, hey, he's done everything that Jed York would have ever wanted him to. He's paying him a lot of money. You can say that he's got them close to, and as you can say that, I don't know who would do a better job and who you can rely on putting together a structure the way Kyle Shanahan has. I don't think he's thinking about moving on from him. And in addition, if he loves John Lynch, which I think he does, if you fire Kyle Shanahan, you're probably going to lose John Lynch too.
So with that said, from Kawakami, who's as close to the team as anybody out here in this region, you mentioned Jed York and what happened with Harbaugh a decade ago. Now, do you believe that Jed York has matured as an owner and said, hey, I've learned from that mistake with Jim Harbaugh. I did hire two coaches after Jim Harbaugh, Chip Kelly and Jim Tomsula, and it didn't work out. Let me stick with Shanahan for a little bit longer. Do you get any sense that maybe Jed York would be feeling like he was at the end of Harbaugh? Because Harbaugh, you're right. Not only did he wear on the 49ers, he wore on the Stanford Cardinal, who he coached down the road out here, Mike.
Yeah, and telling what to Michigan, he was 4 years and out everywhere he went. But look, good coaches can be a pain in the butt. It's incumbent on the organization to realize we need to find a way to coexist with this person who is all about winning football games. Jim Harbaugh isn't a jerk gratuitously. Jim Harbaugh is driven with an unrelenting passion to win football games. And as you were playing that clip, I was thinking, wait a minute, Jed York's the same guy who thought Jim Tomsula was an upgrade over Jim Harbaugh. Are you kidding me? So has he learned from what happened 10 years ago? Maybe. We're not privy to what actually goes on, what the relationships are, what the dynamics are, what the deep feelings are for Kyle Shanahan. We don't know what he wants. So, again, at some point, I feel like you get to a decision that needs to be made one way or the other. And look at Mike Tomlin. I feel like Mike Tomlin was kind of there a little bit last year. It came to a head late in the season. Is he going to renew his vows with the Steelers, or is he going to move on? At some point, Kyle Shanahan is going to be there where he has to decide, I'm either riding this out or I need a fresh start. And if he feels like he needs a fresh start, there's a chance the team's thinking maybe they need one too.
Do you think Shanahan's overworking himself within this organization? Is that why he needs a fresh start, or maybe burnt out, or maybe not making the playoffs this year will give this organization and this coaching staff and front office a nice little reset? To kind of like, okay, let's freshen up a little bit and let's evolve our passing game. Let's get a new defensive coordinator in here and let's play ball again. Do you think that he's just maybe overwhelming himself and maybe doing too much on his plate with the lack of assistant coaches that he has?
The job by its very nature is exhausting. And if you do it the right way, you exhaust yourself. You age like a president. Go back and look at the headshots from early in his career. It's been a rough ride. You put a lot of yourself into it. And
Obama, too. You saw Obama by the end of his tenure
as
the president.
Yeah, everybody. Look at me.
I'm exhausted working with Joe Shasky right now. Mike Flores, yeah, it's been four years.
If you're in a demanding job and you're not sleeping enough and you're not eating right and you're constantly carrying around stress, it's going to show itself. And I feel like, you know, one of the things that makes Kyle Shanahan great is he puts in the time. He puts in the effort. He puts in the work. He puts in the heart and the soul and the elbow grease. And I think it would be a mistake for the 49ers to want to move on, but we've seen them make that mistake in the past. And you put all the ingredients in one pot and stir it up. And again, the Bears should just make the call. A couple of years ago, the year after Matthew Stafford was traded by the Lions to the Rams, kind of inside job surreptitiously, and teams didn't generally know it was going to happen, the Commanders the next year called every team to see if their starting quarterback was available in trade, including the Chiefs. And the point was, hey, we're just turning over every possible rock. You can laugh at us if you want for calling the Chiefs about Patrick Mahomes, but we are not going to get caught unaware of a potential opportunity to get a quarterback this year. The Bears need to apply that same mindset. Turn over every rock. Who's available? And you need to expand the lens beyond coordinators who have never coached before, fired head coaches who are looking for new jobs, and college coaches who might jump to the NFL. Every team, not just the Bears, but every team needs to be thinking, is there a current head coach out there that I could get? What would it cost by way of picks? What would it cost by way of cash? What would he want? Does he want to come here? And is it the right coach for us? I just think teams are selling themselves short by not making that a fourth category that is a viable category that gets used. Yep. And the fact that it rarely happens shows that it's not used nearly enough.
Yeah. Mike, I love the way you think. You think outside the box. And unlike Bonte throwing me under the bus, you look fantastic on Sunday Night Football all the time. You look very well rested.
Lighting and makeup.
You're selling yourself short. I think you're doing
still a got a
job.
Great headset of hair, man. Yeah, I don't know how you keep jealous. That out there.
But Mike, this Brock Purdy, like, where does that leave us with Brock Purdy? Because he hasn't played. He's been up and down. He's had some moments where he's played excellent, and there's been some games where it hasn't looked so hot. And really, since the Baltimore game, the statistics have kind of fallen off the map. I'm going back to last year. I've been hypothesizing, like, who are you really betting against? Who are you bidding against when you're going to pay Brock Purdy? I understand there's market, but, like, look around the league. Look at the quarterback situations, all right? And then look at the potential draft that's going to happen and teams that will find their potential future quarterback. They're really talking about, like, four or five teams that would be interested in Brock Purdy's services. So, like, where does that leave him in terms of value? Like, financial value. Why do they have to get a deal done immediately after this season ends, I guess, is my question.
Well, I made the argument early in the offseason and really deep into the offseason until the deals happened with Jared Goff and Tua Tagovailoa. Who are the Lions and the Dolphins respectively bidding against when they're negotiating these deals with those two players? If those players are available, what are they going to get on the open market? Is someone going to give them a market-level deal? Why are you giving them a market-level deal to stay put? But teams feel compelled to do it. And the agents are very skilled. You know, the same agent, Athletes First, the same representation firm, had both Jordan Love and Tua Tagovailoa, and they played the Packers against the Dolphins back and forth, and they worked it to perfection, and they got market-level deals for both guys. But I've been waiting for years for a team to say, hey, just because you've been good enough doesn't mean that you're now entitled to become the next highest-paid player in NFL history. That's not how it's going to work. We're going to have tiers. We're going to have layers. We're going to have levels. And the thing that the 49ers have in their favor, because Brock Purdy was the last player taken in the draft, if they swoop in with an offer next year after this season, it can be, and I don't want to get too far into the weeds and put people to sleep, especially if they're driving, but when you have a very low final year salary, it's easier to get to a high new money average per year that makes the agents happy and it looks good on paper and it looks like a better deal than it is, where in terms of hard dollars, it's a lot less that the player is getting. So there's a path to do that. But even then, what's the new money APY we're looking at? 60? 60? 55?
Yeah, I'm not doing that, Mike. Hey, Josh Allen is a $60 million a year quarterback. We saw those guys head-to-head in the snow. I'm not doing that.
And he's not making 60. He's making 43.
43 this year. Yeah, no doubt.
He's woefully underpaid. And here's the other side of it, too. And this will be, I think, instructive on what Jed York really thinks long-term about Kyle Shanahan. Because if there's any thought that, you know, we're playing wait and see with what Shanahan does over the next couple of years, that's a reason to not make a massive investment in Brock Purdy, because you could have a new coach who could say, I don't really like Brock Purdy.
That's a great point.
Mike Florio here on the River Islands Guest Line. A couple more for you real quick. We appreciate the time as always. I know you're a busy guy. I want to get to your book in just a second. But first, Kirk Cousins. He threw four picks last week in Atlanta. And I thought during the Green Bay playoff game, I texted this thread, our show thread, and I said, boy, when Brock Purdy was struggling in that Green Bay game, I said, I think Kirk Cousins is back on the table for Kyle Shanahan. Now, Michael Pittman Jr. is waiting in the wings, and I may have heard it on your show. I don't know where I heard it from. But they said Michael Pittman Jr. looks amazing in practice. How long until he takes the job in Atlanta? And is Kirk Cousins rearing his ugly head again to where maybe he links up with Kyle Shanahan once again?
Well, when Penix was drafted, Terry Fontenot, the Falcons GM, suggested that he'd sit for 4 or 5 years, which is ludicrous. There's no way it's going to be 4 or 5 years. The absolute most he sits is 3. The question is it 2 or 1 at the end of the day? 2 makes more sense. 1 is possible when you consider that Kirk Cousins has 3 straight games with no touchdown passes and 6 interceptions. They've fallen apart. They're now, even with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, although they hold the head-to-head tiebreaker, there's 5 games left and they're both 6-6, and let's see who can pull it off. And Cousins is going to have to turn it around. He goes back to Minnesota this weekend, site of the last time he played in Minnesota, arguably the best game of his career against the 49ers on a Monday night. He tore his Achilles 6 days later, and that was that for Cousins in Minnesota. But I think he's going to be in play next year. He's got a no-trade clause. And people say, oh, he can't be traded. He's got a no-trade clause. Well, he can waive it. And if the choices are be the second-string quarterback in Atlanta or go somewhere else and play, he's probably going to go somewhere else and play. So I think he very possibly will be in play. It's going to be determined by the next 5 weeks and what, if anything, happens in the playoffs for the Falcons. But if they don't make the playoffs, then, yeah, we could see the page turn from Kirk Cousins to Michael Penix Jr. The real question I have is there some point this season where they break glass in event of emergency and bench Cousins and put Penix in to try to salvage a potential playoff berth?
Kirk Cousins, Kyle Shanahan, maybe it's a match made in heaven. Who knows? Real quick, before we get you out of here, Mike, give us a rundown to the story. What is On Our Way Home about, which is available right now on Amazon?
You know, it's an idea that I carried around for about 10 or 15 years before I sat down three Christmases ago and started typing it during the holiday season. I posted it as kind of like an advent calendar, one chapter at a time on the website 2 years ago. Last year, I made it available for the first time. This year, we're dusting it off with all proceeds going to a couple of different charities, the Michael Phelps Foundation in honor of my friend Jay Glazer and Enfield Public Schools in honor of Peter King. He's trying to help them raise money for their middle school sports activities. They desperately need help, and he's done a great job raising money there. The book is a Christmas story that lands at the intersection of A Christmas Carol and It's a Wonderful Life. And it has themes of redemption, reconciliation, forgiving yourself if it's too late to reconcile with a family member who's no longer around. And I didn't intend any of that. It's just I'd like to tell a good story, and it all sprang from the kernel of an idea that I had 10 or 15 years ago. And I don't want to tell you what the idea is because it's kind of a spoiler if I tell you what it's about. I think if folks are smart and if they're perceptive, they'll kind of figure out early on where it's going. But it's you know, it's a page turner, and it's got some twists and turns and surprises. And it's only $2.99 for the ebook, which is almost giving it away. And it's $9.99 for the print edition. Very cheap and affordable Christmas gifts that you can just check people off your list, $9.99 at a time. Good luck finding anything tangible that you can wrap and give to someone for $9.99. The wrapping paper costs $9.99.
It's true.
Yeah, Mike, you're doing God's work out here, man. Mike Florio, man. You're a money-making machine, man. You're a cash register. It's just a matter of time before you start charging us to talk to you.
I should be charging more.
You need a co-host? A little help, Mike? Maybe I'll leave Bonte.
I'm stupid enough to fire Jim Harbaugh and hire Jim Tom Sula. That's how stupid I am.
Hey, I actually wrote a story at an old radio station saying, hiring Jim Tom Sula is not the worst thing in the world.
Narrator.
Chip Kelly is.
Oh, yeah. Well, there it is. Mike, man. Always.
See you, buddy.
See you later,
Mike. We will not be seeing you at the Super Bowl this year.
No, we will not be seeing you at the Super Bowl.
Just let you know. So, sorry.
We won't be seeing you on Perfect Street.
I love that, man.
You love him now?
I do.
No. We've come a long way with him.
You know,
we've come a long way.
Part of the growth as a human being, as I've gotten into my 40s, is that I've realized that, you know, sometimes you're so alike with someone, you have to just give in and be there for
them. I said what I said.
Exactly.
Well, remember that whole bit? We went at it the first time we ever went. Kate Scott was, I guess, I didn't find this out until 2 years later that they had a little secret text thread with each other. Kate's like, Bonte's going to ruin all our guests for us. He's running these guests off. No, we became best friends. Yeah. We're great. Even after you said, Mike, what did you say? Is that the longest answer?
I don't remember that.
Yeah. By the way, I want to shout out to Coach Yak. Coach Yak, look, our Twitter numbers does not hit.